the Tom Likas Show.
You're a goddamn genius. You are a goddamn gifted.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
L-I-V-I-S.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our show can be heard on demand if you just go to the all-new premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us here in studio, as he does every Tuesday, live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Hey, Tom.
What's going on?
Well, I promise I'm going to talk, like you said, about this Phelps character and his lovely DUI. But I had a personal experience with another celebrity this weekend.
Oh?
So I was going to my office on a Sunday, Tom.
Okay.
Which I probably shouldn't do, but, you know, I just can't stay away from work. And there's this car stopped. This is in Van Nuys, California. There's a car stopped, like, in the left lane, just sort of stopped.
Nice.
And, you know, everyone sort
of... Did you give him your business card right away?
I was just thinking about that. I should have. Everyone's kind of, you know, driving around and whatever and trying to get away from this. And as I'm coming around, you see the driver is actually a woman. And she's very disheveled. And she's basically in the driver's seat and her head is all the way back. Like knocked out, you know, passed out, whatever. So everyone's kind of going around. The cops are starting to deal with it or whatever. So I realize now that that was Amanda Bynes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, once I started reading.
Oh, my.
Once I started reading on the internet about her arrest, it occurs to me that this is must be the person I saw. So apparently she was one of those Nickelodeon kids.
Yes.
Cute, right?
And you know what happens to them.
Yes, right. Life gets a little harsh as they get older, apparently.
Yes.
But they start off very innocent, so that's a lovely thing. But, you know, there was a drunk driving incident with... What's the woman that's in was in Legally Blonde? What's that? Oh God!
Reese Witherspoon.
Thank you. And you remember her husband got what pulled over and they started screaming or whatever.
Yes, it was on video. Remember?
Yes, of course. This is not that different than what's happened to Michael Phelps. You know, in a way, you know, we create this world of illusion where we say that celebrities are supposed to be these role models, or they're supposed to be better than us in some way.
Yes.
You know, you've always teased about that.
Right.
You're one of the few people that's sort of in that universe to some degree that admits the truth, which is that, you know, that this is all, you know, fake. It's all written by publicists.
Well, more than that, I do believe that people like Olympic swimmers and others in the public eye, I think they can get away with more because
oh, yeah.
They are all American. Let's take a look at what he did. According to TMZ, I'm going to read you what happened. According to TMZ, Michael Phelps
yes.
Was in Baltimore, home the regional home there of Mikey Timpson, and says here he was pulled over around 1:40 a.m. in a white Land Rover. And his blood alcohol content, according to TMZ, was almost twice the legal limit.
But he was driving 84 miles an hour in a 45. Let's not forget.
In a Land Rover, which is like,
sure.
That was at 3 tons. Says your officials just issued a statement saying Phelps was initially pulled over from going 84 to 45.
Right.
And during the stop, the cop noticed that Phelps was hammered. It says that TMZ sources say Phelps was hauled to a nearby police station where he was booked for DUI and eventually released. Cops say Phelps was charged with DUI, excessive speeding, and crossing double lane lines. This is his second DUI arrest. He was popped in Maryland in 2004 when he was 19 years old, struck a plea deal, pled guilty in exchange for 18 months probation. And so that was earlier in the day on TMZ. And then about lunchtime here in L.A., Here comes a story about Michael Phelps. There's a picture of him. It says that he just, this was at lunchtime today, just issued a statement on his DUI arrest in Baltimore this morning. And here is the statement he issued on Twitter. I'm going to read you the exact quote. He said, "Earlier this morning, I was arrested and charged with DUI, excessive speeding, and crossing double lane lines. I understand the severity of my actions and take full responsibility. I know these words might not mean much right now." You know they're going to mean a lot? When the prosecutor gets his hands on this and shows it to the jury.
Yeah, that's when it really is going to mean something.
"I know these words may not mean much right now, but I am deeply sorry to everyone I have let down." Now, Adam, if your client...
I would slap him.
Yes, I was going to say, if your client who was arrested for drunk driving and is listed on Twitter and going and making a statement that they apologize for what they did, whatever that is, and take full responsibility, you would not be happy with that, would you?
Not especially.
No.
I think that one of the things that we talked about, and this was very true with some of the marriages. I don't know, you were talking about something. You turned me on to this, which is something that had never occurred to me. I used to watch Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And I always thought, wow, look how spontaneous it all is.
Right.
what horse shit that is.
Of course.
And apparently, in particular, some of those shows, before whoever famous person comes on, they're given them business cards or little index cards with what they're supposed to say and what the question is and what the answer is going to be and what topics not to discuss and in what order. And
well, those blue cards the host has.
Oh, yeah, that's no joke.
Those cards are not just questions. They are the questions and the anticipated answers,
right,
which have been determined in a pre-interview with right. the producer before the show.
Damn right.
So, for example, it has been said, and I'm going to say this very carefully, it has been said that Mr. Tom Cruise will not go on a talk show unless the interviewer and the producer sign an agreement about the questions you will right. not ask Mr. Cruise.
So you don't ask him about Scientology?
Well, that's it.
You don't ask him about his divorce?
You know, when he used to go on the Tonight Show, Jay Leno would be, "So, I hear you like cars." I mean, you know, here's what I want to hear about. What happened with that Katie Holmes? What happened with the other one, Nicole Kidman? What happened with her?
She seemed kind of pissed.
You notice they never ask him those questions? Yeah. Never. Yeah. It's because it's all been agreed to in advance. All the questions have been vetted. All of the answers have been revealed. And so when somebody comes out, the host knows the line of questioning, and the guest knows what answers to give. And there's no spontaneity at all. And if you think Jimmy Fallon is spontaneous with these games he plays, don't you think they go to the manager and the agent, the publicist? Don't think, how will Helen Mirren feel about playing beer pong with you? You don't think they just whip this stuff out and start doing it, do you?
Yeah, of course not. So I think that in the context of some of these things that happen, you know, they're controlling their image. They're thinking about products that they're going to be promoting. They do cross promotions. I mean, we've seen how difficult it is for celebrities that were going to make a Disney movie and then have some kind of a scandal that, you know, makes them seem anti-family or whatever. And this certainly has an impact. They're very paranoid. You know, there's been a couple of celebrities that had their careers destroyed by making a bad movie. I mean, it was this very unsuccessful movie that was considered, you know, an embarrassment, and it dragged them down for years. So what ends up happening, I think, is that they're in this universe of very controlled lives in that respect and their image. And then, like you say, at the same time, they start to think they're superhuman. They're making a ton of money. They're, like, you know, living it up, living in Shangri-La. And then they get a DUI. And it never occurred to them that the normal rules apply. Now, you've been talking about Uber and Lyft or whatever. I was always amazed, particularly when years ago Lindsay Lohan was getting arrested every couple of days. Why doesn't she get a driver? What the hell is wrong with her? I was like, why is she driving herself? Or someone like, you know, Britney Spears or Paris Hilton or whatever. I mean, get a frickin' bodyguard who drives you around in a car or whatever. So, you know, here you have this person, and this is like the NFL scandals we've been talking about lately, where, you know, Phelps is this big Olympian, right? Very respected. Everyone thinks he's this big role model. And apparently he's been caught in the past with strippers, I think, in Vegas or whatever. And there's a photograph of him, horrors, smoking from a bong, I believe.
Yes. I did see that.
I mean,
something that was purported to be a bong, let's just say that.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Let's be realistic, okay? He's supposed to be what? He's this celibate celebrity role model? I mean, he's doing whatever he's doing. And that's one of the realities, I think, which shows you how gritty it is. I saw a list of, I believe it was NFL players that had been arrested for various domestic offenses. And, Tom, it was dozens of them. I mean, I don't know how you could build these guys up with testosterone. You could run them around, have them run into walls and play these games every day where they're, like, you know, killing each other like gladiators. And then send them home with this 5-foot-1 woman screaming at them and not expect them to freak out. It's amazing it doesn't happen more often, seriously. And obviously you see that, you know, various celebrities get into these problems. I mean, it seems like Amanda Bynes, if anything, is really mentally ill. She's a schizophrenic or a bipolar or whatever. And this is the kind of stuff that goes on. It doesn't justify it, of course. And I've told everybody, you know, it bears repetition, Tom, but I don't know how many times I can say the same thing. You know, when you get arrested, you have to shut the fuck up. I don't know how to say it. How can I be more polite about it? You know, that happened with Reese Witherspoon's husband. They immediately pled guilty. And in these different circumstances, I think this may even be, I don't think Michael Phelps is, but this is certainly a big part of, I think, Hispanic culture, where it's like the Catholic thing. You go to church and you confess and you're absolved, you know? So you're not supposed to deny the sin. You're supposed to admit it. And, you know, cops use psychology on people. It's very typical for the cop to start talking to you and try to sort of give you some false intimacy and say to you, hey, look, I'm trying to help you here, you know? I'm here to help you. My job is to help you, which is the biggest bullshit ever. You got to be kidding. But the guy who's going to testify against you is not there to help you, okay? Trust me. He's to help you end up in jail is what he's doing. But so the bottom line is, in our culture, it's different. In our justice system, the smartest thing to do is to just deny it and to not make any statement. But I think that in some of the cultures, you say you're sorry, and that means something. And in our culture, we've had some versions of that where, you know, there's like this offensive thing that someone says, and then he apologizes, and he goes on Oprah, you know, and he says he's sorry, and he didn't mean to trash the Jews or whatever. And then there's this cultural thing, like, did the person accept the apology? Or they go to the parents of the victim, and then they say, we don't accept his apology. We don't, it wasn't really sincere or whatever. So on some level, I don't know if it was spontaneous, but it seems to me like we talked about handlers, that someone like Michael Phelps would talk to his agent or to his publicist, and they would say, you're going to go on Oprah, and you're going to say you're really sorry. And there's a whole industry of that. I remember very well when Bill Clinton was caught cheating on the First Lady at the time. He met with Jesse Jackson, I think, and you know, some of the other reverends and, you know, religious types, and he came on TV and he said, I've sinned and I'm sorry, and he was all contrite and all this stuff, you know. And that's sort of our game that we play in our culture. It's absurd. I think that Phelps as a celebrity may have needed to do it, but from a legal point of view, it's the worst. Tom, it's the worst.
I know.
It's stupid, because now if I was his lawyer walking into court, what am I going to say? I want to see the tests. I think he's innocent. You got the wrong guy.
Right.
He's already confessed. He's already, God knows what he told the cops, but he's already gone on TV and he said, it's my fault. I admit it. I was arrested. I was charged.
I take full responsibility. What? Seriously, now, you're the prosecutor.
Sorry.
And you're the prosecutor
in
this case. This is a cakewalk,
laughing,
isn't it? Come on.
I have fallen on the floor laughing my ass off.
It's a cakewalk, right?
I don't know what to say. I'm like, look, man.
You take full, I mean, my first question, if you were on the witness stand, is, what exactly are you taking full responsibility for?
Sir, what did you mean when you said full responsibility?
Right.
I don't know how many different ways
you
can
interpret that.
You mean
the maximum sentence? Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you'd like? Yes. We're going to give you the max because you said you care so much and you take such responsibility.
Right.
Well, that's another interesting question, right? If you're a celebrity, right, if you're famous, you know, are we supposed to be more lenient with you?
Well, we frequently are, whether we're supposed to be or not.
There's no doubt about
it. But I think Baltimore is probably a different story.
I don't know. I think you'd be surprised.
You think so?
I don't know.
You know, back in the day, and you know, and I idolized Johnny Carson. Let me just say this.
Carson was special, but he got pulled over every night.
He got pulled over, and instead of getting taken to jail... my understanding, people I know in Malibu, is that the cop would say, "Mr. Carson, you look like you could use a ride home," and he would get out of his Jaguar, whatever he was driving, and they'd make sure his vehicle got home safely, and then they would drive him to his home.
Oh God!
And then the question becomes, and this is totally outrageous, but the question becomes: would the average Johnny Carson had at his peak 30 million people watching at midnight, okay? Would the American people want to see Johnny Carson in prison, even if he was drunk? They think he's out with his buddy Ed McMahon. They're getting hammered. Do they really want to see him in prison? Maybe. And I do think that the average person probably wants two sets of justice. You know, one for O.J. Simpson and Johnny Carson, and one for the rest of us.
I wonder if that's true. Yeah. I wonder if that's true.
Now, I got another one for you, and this is breaking news. I don't know if you've seen this story yet, but this is a Southern California crime story right now. I wonder what you would do if you got the phone call from Mrs. Daniel Crespo. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay.
Am I embarrassed not to know?
No. I'm not saying you should know. But here is the deal. The mayor of Bell Gardens here in Southern California, his name is Daniel Crespo, was shot and killed during a domestic dispute today, according to Channel 4 here in Los Angeles and the LA Times. Police have taken Crespo's wife into custody. The shooting occurred on the 6300 block of East Gage Avenue. Gage Avenue, God, your street name is your destiny. If you've got firearms, around 2:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Unbelievable.
Yes, right at the corner of East Gage Avenue and Bullet Street. Crespo was transported to a nearby hospital where he died from the gunshot wounds.
True love, Tom.
Crespo was reportedly shot during an argument with his wife and his 19-year-old son at their home. And according to Los Angeles Sheriff's Department spokeswoman Nicole Nishida, Crespo was arguing with his wife when his son intervened. Crespo allegedly punched his son in the face. His wife then retrieved a gun and allegedly shot her husband multiple times in the upper torso. Now, all right, so...
Are you fucking kidding me?
This is a true story that happened today. People are still finding out about it. All right, so you get a call. She gets one phone call, and it's Mrs. Crespo. Calling because she needs your help. Some lawyer is getting that call right now.
Yeah.
It could very well be you. Okay. What do you tell Mrs. Crespo based on the facts you know?
I wouldn't know where to start. Come on, Tom.
Come on, Adam. What would you do with this?
I'd just tell her, don't talk.
Right.
Don't say anything to the cops. We'll come up with something. You know, the great thing about it, when the victim is dead, okay, is that, you know, your strategy is to trash them, of course. You know, the Menendez brothers, who from my neighborhood, by the way, in lovely Calabasas, California, and went to Calabasas High School, as I recall, they, you know, once the father and mother were murdered, right, by them, obviously, then they came into this whole long story about how they had been molested by their parents and beaten by their parents and treated cruelly. And, of course, the parents are dead, so they can't contradict it or whatever. But when you're defending a woman in this day and age, particularly one that murders the husband, I'm reminded of that Farrah Fawcett movie. Remember The Burning Bed? This guy was very brutal to the wife for a long time. So, of course, she doesn't leave him, God forbid.
Right.
She puts Vaseline, which is oil. It's petroleum jelly, right? She puts Vaseline all over him while he's asleep and lights it and burns him to death on the bed. So, thus the burning bed. But and this is based on a true story, and apparently, you know, she tells this whole story about all his cruelties to her, and the jury and so forth, you know, had mercy on her because, you know, obviously he had it coming, right? Just like in the movie Chicago, right? He had it coming. He had it coming. So in this sort of a case, obviously this woman, you know, goes on this violent rampage, and we have a society that doesn't view women in that way. We expect men to be murderers and child molesters and whatnot, and when a woman does it, everyone says, oh, this is an aberration. I think women, in fact, are truly violent. But in the case of this, you know, she turns it around. It turns out the husband had been incredibly cruel to her for years, and she finally snapped. And there'll be some temporary insanity sort of thing or some psychosis of some sort, and she might end up with a little probation there, Tom.
Oh, my. That stuff kills me. But yeah.
You still don't admit that you did anything.
Never.
And you never say you're sorry.
And that you take full responsibility.
You never use the word
responsibility. Who wants to take responsibility for that?
Let me tell you something. Responsibility is a woman's word, okay?
Right.
That is the word you hear when you get a girl pregnant, okay? Period.
Yeah. He's got to take responsibility, Maury.
He's got to
step up and be a man.
And take responsibility. That's right. It. Okay. Any other time, I don't want to hear that word.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a break here. It's, of course, the weekly bonus hour, in this case with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and your phone calls for Adam. If you have legal questions, and maybe you shot your husband the mayor, or maybe you had a DUI, or... Michael Phelps.
What does that tell you? You know, you're married to the fucking mayor, right? Can't you be happy for 5 minutes? I mean, what do you want from these guys?
I have a feeling the mayor in Bell Gardens is not a highly compensated individual.
Man. A woman could be married to the president of the United States. She'd be pissed off.
Right.
And we have proof of that right now.
I know. So, yeah, you may have questions. Maybe you've been accused of doing something you didn't do. Or maybe you've been accused of something you did do. Or maybe you shot the mayor. Or maybe you were driving drunk and you gave a statement apologizing on Twitter and taking full responsibility. Or maybe some other brushes with the law that you've had, skirmishes with the authorities. Call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866.
So... how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry, you're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back. And get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New Normal
Rock. You guys remember Dr. Robert Armani, right? He's the chiropractor who gave Adam Sachs an adjustment right here in the studio. Well, as you know, Dr. Armani is a P1, a good friend of our show, and has always been incredibly supportive. But what you probably don't know is that he specializes in injuries, including personal injury and workers' compensation cases. So if you've been injured in any way, your neck, back, hip, knee, shoulder, you name it, Dr. Armani will work hand-in-hand with the attorney handling your case and get you fixed up. Whether you need physical therapy, rehabilitating exercises, or chiropractic adjustments, Dr. Armani has the most advanced equipment to treat your pain and injuries at any of his three L.A. area offices. Visit ArmaniChiropractic.com today. That's ArmaniChiropractic.com. Our friend Dr. Robert Armani at ArmaniChiropractic.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. The number here, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. To talk to criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. It's 901-3000-866. We do this bonus hour every Tuesday at 6 p.m. live. 6 p.m. Pacific time. 9 p.m. Eastern time. And Adam here to answer your legal questions. These are free. This is free legal advice for you. Okay? And look, everybody's had their brushes with the law. And maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you've been convicted of something already. And maybe you need to get something expunged. Maybe, who knows? Maybe you got Michael Phelps'd. Maybe cross the double yellow line, and that's when the fun began.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Allegedly. Of course, he's already apologized and taken full responsibility.
I'm telling you, he's got to maintain his image to be, stay on the Wheaties boxes or whatever, Tom.
Wheaties. If there's a product, W-E-E-D-I-E-S, Wheaties, that would be perfect for him. That's the only Wheaties box he's going to be on.
Well, that's got to be the opposite. That's the downside of being famous, right?
Right. Of course.
If we were in Carson's days, then he would have been pulled over by the Baltimore cops, and they would have let him go.
Right.
So what the fuck?
Exactly.
He probably was saying that to him. That's what Reese Witherspoon was saying.
Right.
She was saying, do you know who I am, you assholes?
Right. 901-3000-TOM. Here's Jim in the city of Orange on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Not much. I got a quick question for you. I'll be real brief. I know you always give your advice not to do the breathalyzer.
Oh, God.
But this situation might be a little interesting. This friend of mine, she basically takes amphetamines prescribed for ADD, okay. And she has the amphetamines in her purse.
All right. Now, I mean, if it's from a doctor, well, hold on. If it's from a doctor, that's a whole different story, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, we get probably once a week stopped at a, you know, DUI checkpoint, and I'm wondering if there's an issue where, you know, she basically...
Wait a minute, wait. You get stopped once a week at a DUI checkpoint? Really?
You need Mr. Checkpoints app, dude.
Oh, my.
You know, it's in Huntington Beach, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'll bet there is a checkpoint there at least once a week.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, she, you know, on the way there, we haven't drank anything yet, but we get stopped, you know, in terms of, you know, they always ask, you know, you've been drinking? No. And they let us go. But, you know, the one time where we, you know, the guy may go, you know, pull over to the right and, you know, we want to do further, you know, testing on you. And she refuses everything and takes a blood test and they find amphetamines. What's going to happen?
Well, generally, they're not testing for amphetamines, you know. They're okay. Giving it. It's a DUI checkpoint. You know, there are certain drugs that, you know, are difficult to drive when you're taking. them. And there were drugs that say things like, you know, don't use heavy machinery or whatever when you take this medicine. Amphetamines, to my understanding, are actually stimulating. So if anything, they would probably make you concentrate even more, you know. There are different circumstances where you might want to disclose. I think, for example, when you have a deposition, they might ask you if you're taking medicine. And you could say, I'm taking this, it's an amphetamine. But again, the fact that she has a prescription for it, it's not like she's doing something illicit or illegal, you know?
Oh, okay.
I would be very surprised if the cops would really show any interest in that at all. Generally, what they're screening for is alcohol, and if you do the blood test, they would generally screen for the illegal drugs, such as, you know, theoretically marijuana, you know, ecstasy, those sorts of things, cocaine. But, you know, if she gets positive somehow for some kind of stimulating drug like, you know, amphetamines or whatever it is, she actually has a prescription. So you can't be charged in the same way. And unless it was impairing her driving, for example, I think marijuana as a depressant could impair driving. But amphetamines, I think it's just the opposite. Doesn't an amphetamine keep you climbing the walls, right?
Well, yes, that's the idea. Of
you're wide awake.
Yes, but so does cocaine. I'm sure if they pulled you over on cocaine, they'd want to know about that.
Yeah, but I thought truckers, for example, like long-haul truckers would take amphetamines to stay
well,
awake.
But the thing is, amphetamines are legal drugs if they're legally prescribed.
Right.
And so if a doctor prescribes amphetamines to you, I guess the question becomes, I don't know what the law is. I'm an idiot.
No. I think for people, for example, that have attention deficit, ADHD, something like that, the Ritalin, the other medicines that they give them for that, that's an amphetamine. That actually helps them concentrate.
Right.
So there you go.
Oh, so if your doctor prescribed you marijuana, could you smoke an ounce of weed and then get out on the freeway?
Well, don't forget, being
caught. That's a great question.
Well, hold on. being caught with it and driving on it is different, okay? If you have a marijuana card in California and certain other states, it's legal to have marijuana. You're not going to be arrested in that respect. But if you're driving with it, you could be considered driving impaired. And I've done a lot of cases even recently like that, and that is illegal. There isn't that much agreement, however, about what the amount is. So in terms of the threshold, your blood can be tested and show positive for marijuana, and they can even do a test to show how much marijuana was in your blood, but there isn't a legal amount that's been agreed to among experts as to intoxication. We talk a lot about alcohol, and alcohol, you know, when you're 0.08 or higher, that generally is showing that you're, you know, driving drunk. But marijuana doesn't have that same kind of thing, and I brought in experts to testify to talk about what proper thresholds are for marijuana intoxication. So in general, if you're taking something that could impair your driving, you shouldn't be driving. How's that?
So basically, if they did find it in the blood test, and she would then confess to, hey, I've got a prescription, here's my prescription, she'd be good to go then.
No, the blood test results are going to come back weeks later. This is a whole separate thing. If she gets pulled over, they're going
to
give her the blow if she wants to do it, or she can refuse. They can ask her to do the field sobriety test. But she can say, I'm not intoxicated. And they're going to talk to one of the things that they're pulling you over at the checkpoint is they're smelling you. They're smelling alcohol. They're doing this thing where they flash the flashlight in your eyes to see if your pupils react, you know? They're doing some of these basic tests, and if she's on amphetamines, she's going to be fine. They're not going to suspect her. She's going to say, I haven't been drinking. I feel great. I don't know why you're pulling me over. That'll be the end of it. I've been in checkpoints. I'm there for 15 seconds.
Yeah, I just thought maybe that because they would have a beep, but she says, no, I don't want to take the breathalyzer, you know. And then they find that out, and then basically they try to get her.
I know, but they don't start by asking you to take the breathalyzer. They have to establish some kind of probable cause first. And if they don't have probable cause, they're not going to ask you to pull over and start screwing with you. When I'm in a checkpoint, they say to me, sir, where are you going? I say, I'm driving home. And they say, have you been drinking? I say, no. And they're like, good night. I mean, that's fine.
All right, cool. All right, well, can you blow me up, Tom?
Yes. Yes, I can. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. Now, again, here's another one. NyQuil. 25% alcohol content, which makes it 50 proof.
I love it.
Now, if you were had a call, a lot of people, amazingly, because you would think everybody watches TV and everybody watches commercials, a lot of people do not know that NyQuil, part of the purpose of NyQuil, not just to reduce your fever or your cold or whatever, or cough, part of it is to put you to sleep. All right, the name NyQuil is like, it's an abbreviation for nighttime tranquility. NyQuil.
NyQuility. Okay?
So I'll bet there's people who take NyQuil and then get behind the wheel. What happens?
Oh, God. You know, you think about it, it's funny, you know. I remember reading the woman that was the wife of the candidate for president, Dukakis.
Yes.
He ran against President Bush, I guess it was.
Right, 1988.
Yes.
Kitty Dukakis.
Yes,
She was such an alcoholic, she used to drink, shoe polish.
She drank a bottle of, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there's even some stuff that barbers use or something, some kind of cleaning something or other that she drank. I mean, it shows you that someone who's a real hardcore alcoholic who's, desperate for it.
Right.
So when you think about NyQuil, I mean, if it's 50% proof, what the hell?
Right. Well, it's 25% alcohol, which is 50 proof.
Unbelievable.
And, you'll wonder about that stuff. You know, people going out, well, it's medicine. I take my medicine, and now I'm going to drive.
Well, remember, it's the two things. That's why I mentioned that thing about marijuana, because at least theoretically, if marijuana is legal, you can smoke it, but you're not supposed to drive on it. That could impair your driving.
Right. But I think that, you only take not a thimbleful, but you take a little cup of it filled halfway, and it's only 25% alcohol, not like 40% like the average tequila that people drink. So you wonder, can people take that stuff and drive? I don't know the answer.
Far out.
I don't know if I want to take a chance.
I guess it's up to you.
Right. Exactly.
Especially not if you're famous.
That's right. And please don't say you take full responsibility. Please.
Please don't say that Tom Likas told you to do it.
Absolutely don't. All right, here we are with Adam Sachs. Adam here to answer your legal questions at 901-3000-TOM. And it's 901-3000-TOM, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Just call us at 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Welcome to one of our newest sponsors. It's DatingTricks.com. That's DatingTricks with an X.com. Now, you know your professor has been saying for years that one of the greatest ways to trick chicks is to put your number on the back of an ATM receipt with a large balance. It's a classic, and we know it works because we hear from guys who pull it off all the time. But I'll admit, hunting around for an ATM receipt with a good balance can be a real drag. Well, now the boys at DatingTricks.com have you covered. Realistic-looking ATM receipts with large random balances delivered to your door. Done. You got to see it work for yourself. Visit datingtricks.com today. That's datingtricks with an X.com and receive 3 free additional fake ATM receipts per shipment when you enter this promo code, Tom101. Okay? The promo code for Dating Tricks is Tom101. You've been hearing about this forever. Now here's an easy and fun way to put it to the test. Remember, Tricks is spelled with an X. It's datingtricks.com. Check it out today, datingtricks.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. Just listen to when Bar Rescue's John Taffer called in.
Maybe we just established one ground rule, and that is you don't yell at us. Because, you know, people have told us we're stupid and we're doing the wrong thing for our whole lives.
Yeah, and to be yelled at, I think, would really drive us into the dirt.
So is that cool?
If you ask one more time, guys, I'm going to start yelling. That's where this...
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
When you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, I want you to see a thief.
The Gary and Dino Show.
I want you to know.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
I've been saying that to him for years.
That's my biggest nightmare.
If you love Be Funny, you should know that B Be Funny Live is coming to the world-famous Laugh Factory on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood on Thursday night, October 30th at 8 p.m. See the callers of Be Funny come to life on the stage that gave birth to many of comedy's biggest stars. Will one of our Be Funny callers become the next comedy superstar? You really have no idea who might be performing or who might be a judge. One thing we know for sure, one of the performers on the night of Be Funny Live will win a cash prize of $500. Now, this is going to be another really fun night that everyone will remember forever. And all cash proceeds from the show will go towards the New Normal's goal of $1 profit in 2014. Now, in the comedy club tradition, there's a two-drink minimum, and you want to get your tickets, and you can only get them from one place, and that is BeFunnyLive.com. Be with us on Thursday night, October 30th at 8 p.m. for Be Funny Live. Go to BeFunnyLive.com.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. A reminder to check out the brand new, all new, completely redesigned PremiumTom.com. It looks great. It works great. And there are all kinds of options. Premium Tom monthly and yearly. Now the new Super Premium Tom, where you can hear the Tom Likas Show without commercials. If that's what you want, we've got it. You can get a day pass on there, so you can just try it out for a day. $5 to try it for one day. And also, we make donating easy on there as well. So, look, at the very least, check it out and tell us what you think. Go to PremiumTom.com right now. PremiumTom.com. Go for it. PremiumTom.com. All right, Adam Sachs, how can people find you?
Give me a call at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email. That's always lots of fun, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. 901-3000-TOM, Jason in Sioux City, Iowa. You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
Okay, son, what can we do for you?
Hey, Jason.
Well, I just had a small little morsel for the content kitty there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Adam to clarify something. As
sure.
far as I understand is, if you legally own a firearm and you get a someone files a restraining order, you're not allowed to own the firearm or something
that's
like that
right.
anymore?
That's right. You know, it's really a very strange thing. When you think about, you know, the Second Amendment right to own a weapon, a firearm, that goes back to the founding of the country, right, in the Bill of Rights, it's a very peculiar American right that we have. And in other countries, even in countries that, you know, you consider very democratic and Western, like England and Canada, you don't have the right to have weapons in the same way. And when you look in historically, countries took weapons away from their people along with the rest of their rights. It's one of the first things that the fascists did in Nazi Germany is they took away people's right to have weapons so that the public would be defenseless against the military and the police and so forth. And so here we're very proud of our right to have arms in America, to bear arms, and people have guns and so forth. But then get this. You get a woman who goes to get a restraining order. You don't even know she's going to get it because she doesn't have to give you notice. She goes into court. She makes up a story. She gets a restraining order. And you instantly have no right anymore to have a weapon. And as long as the restraining order is in place, which could be several years, you don't have the right to a weapon. And in fact, you have to either say that you don't have guns if you don't. But if you do, you have to sell them immediately to a gun dealer or to give them away or whatever. So your right to have weapons is actually very tenuous. And based on a woman's accusation, that right can be very easily taken away. It's a joke.
Yeah, that's fucked up. There's no other way to say it.
And that's prior to a hearing. So in other words, the woman makes the allegation and you instantly have to give up all your guns. Then, 3 weeks later, you have a hearing, and let's assume that her claim is bullshit and the judge believes you and throws it out. Then you're allowed to own guns again. But in the meantime, you have to dispose of all the guns you have. So you lose the right, you get the right back, but it wouldn't necessarily make that much of a difference. I'm not sure. I know there are people that are hobbyists that go deer hunting or whatever. You have a lot of people that talk about, you know, the right to any kind of guns. You have people that are buying, you know, full auto M16s or whatever, military grade assault rifle weapons and so forth. I don't know if that's really necessary for home defense and for shooting a deer, but I do believe in the right to bear arms. We think about where Tom lives, right? Tom's got this ranch, and you've got all kinds of weird critters coming to visit.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it on the show. I'm going out to the range. I'm learning how to shoot. That's it. I'm doing it.
You're going to run into some snakes and some other shit, I'm sure.
It is. It's been a snake season with the heat here in California and the drought. Absolutely.
I saw yesterday night, I was walking in my neighborhood, and I saw like a possum or something. That's some scary shit, man. I know they're scared of us, but I mean, I think that's an animal that's very willing to attack. So I don't know, but the bottom line is that obviously we have this right, and it is a pretty serious sacrosanct right, but you know, women push for more and more and more protections. The Violence Against Women Act has been you know, actually strengthened and extended. And so as a guy, you know, you got to protect your rights, because otherwise they'll be taken away from you. It's not a joke.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
And listen, Iowa's the same as California or anywhere else. I mean, it's the same exact story, you know. A lot of guys will get a restraining order and say, I don't give a shit or whatever. And then the wife will get it, and they don't fight very hard, and they don't hire a lawyer, and they lose. And they say, yeah, what's the difference? I have a restraining order. And they go to work, and they get fired. And the boss says, look, if you got a restraining order against you because of your wife, I can't have you working in the office here with women, you know. I mean, you're violent. I don't know who the hell you are. Maybe you're fucking crazy. I can't have you here. I can't have you working for this company. Or let's say you're trying to get a security clearance. I mean, I had a couple of cases where my client was a police officer, and the wife is trying to get a restraining order against him. Well, if she succeeded at that, then he wouldn't be able to have a gun either, right? So that's a basic aspect of his work, of his job. So, I mean, if he's got a restraining order, he can't be a cop anymore. And the wife doesn't give a shit. The wife would love to destroy your career. When a woman hates your guts, she's not thinking clearly, okay? And she would love to see you lose your job. And especially if you really love your job, that would be like the greatest thing for her ever if she could destroy that. So there you go.
Thanks. Can you blow me up there, Dad?
Yes, I can, Jason. Here you go. Tom is our telephone number. William in Baltimore, you're on the Tom Likas show with attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, William.
Yes, indeed. But I did speak to Mr. Sachs the other week anyway, though. But I want to ask you, Mr. Sachs, Adam, you ever heard of that video? It's across the nation called, it's called FletcherRights.org. Whatever, lawyers all over the nation to tell you what to do and not to do with police. It's just like
I've seen some stuff on YouTube. Didn't Michael Phelps get arrested in your city?
Yes, he did. I heard a little bit about it before I went to the bowling alley. I was on my way out the door when I heard just a little touch of it, though.
So how is the enforcement in Baltimore? Are they very strict? Are they all over the place or not so much?
They're all over. In fact, we have a lot of instance here with policemen and the brutality in Baltimore County and Baltimore City, really, though. Both.
Wow. I have very nice memories of Baltimore, a lovely place.
I learned from off that video from Fletcher Rice to keep your hands on your steering wheel.
Let me talk to you about that, okay? This is a tragedy, but, you know, it's unbelievable how many police get killed and shot in routine traffic stops.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this a few times that, you know, when dealing with little animals, my parents always told me, you know, they're more scared of you than you're scared of them. And that definitely applies to the police. when the police pull you over, it's like walking into a domestic violence situation. They're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. And they're trying to take control. And, you know, the military and the police are taught the same concept, which is hands kill. Okay? When you look at how someone kills someone else, they use their hands. They don't use their fucking feet, you know? So when a police officer is approaching your vehicle, for you to be digging around under the dashboard or digging through your glove compartment looking for your, you know, your registration, that's a big mistake. I mean, that is a huge mistake. I hate to be no, I'm serious, and I hate to be racist or whatever, but if you're a member of a minority, I'd say that's even more so, because police are certainly racist.
And I don't know.
So when you talk about the situation of being pulled over, you know, sometimes the cops will give you a few minutes to get your stuff, and then they'll come around. You want to roll down your window and have your hands on 10 and 2, you know? And if the cop says, you know, I want to, if the cop says, hand me something, you say to the officer, officer, I'm going to take my right hand and I'm going to reach into the glove compartment to get that for you. Is that okay? And you want you want to make sure that there's an understanding, and you don't make any sudden moves. You know, you know, people are gonna make this jerky move for the floor or whatever because they drop something. That's a good way to get shot. Okay.
Yes, it
is. So you got to be aware of these things. No doubt about it.
Right. And see me, I'm about a year younger than Tom. I have a son who's 31. He got stopped by police in Brooklyn in Baltimore, and I stressed to him previously, before that happened, don't make no sudden moves. Keep your hands where the officer can see you, though. But one little thing, I'm going to let you go, is I know you have other callers. If the police ask you where you're going at, you ain't exactly got to tell them. Just say, that's my business. All the other questions you may want to answer, but who don't have to? Is that
you know, it's a big problem. I know exactly what you mean. You know, there's definitely your rights as an American, and I absolutely agree that you do not have to tell them where you're going. You don't have to tell them anything, actually. And I've always said to shut up. There is, however, the strains of, let's say, being discourteous, you know? And if you really play it wrong with the cops and you're an asshole, I mean, they're going to take it out on you, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a mistake, too. I think you have to draw a line somewhere in the middle. There's no reason the cop says, you know, just casually, sir, where are you driving to? You know, you say I'm driving home. Why do you want to be an asshole? You say, I don't know, I'm driving home, officer. You know, everything's fine. What's wrong? Why have you pulled me over? Am I okay? Is everything okay? You know, they're testing you. They're trying to see if your speech is slurred. They're trying to see if there's a smell of marijuana or alcohol or whatever, if your behavior is strange. You know, so there are some people that I think are stupid when the cops come to them and the cop says, where are you going? And they go, hey, screw you, officer. I don't got to tell you anything. You know? I mean, I think that's stupid. And when people start saying, you know, hey, man, I know my rights, you know, and you work for me because you're a public servant, so fuck you. I mean, you know, you're only asking for antagonism doing that. You're going to end up pissing the cop off. He may not be the most restrained person in the world. And the next thing you know, you might be getting your ass kicked. So I think that I'm just talking to you, you know, philosophically. I believe that there's absolutely no reason to confess to the cops. I think that's idiotic when people do that. And I don't think you should be talking about the crime or whatever the circumstances are. You say, I want to talk to my, you know, to my attorney. I want my attorney present. But at the same time, if you talk in a just, you know, sort of business-like way, and you say, look, I'm driving home, you know, I haven't had anything to drink, I think that's appropriate. And you want to be aware of the way the cop is reacting to you. You know, people look at cops. Who are cops? Cops are just a regular person who went to the police academy. You know, he wants to finish his shift and go home and be with his kids or whatever. So, you know, if you play it smart, he's going to let you go. Look how many times people have been pulled over and they were drunk or they were screwed up. We've had a few people call in like this. And they were just, you know, courteous to the cop, and the cop let them go. Let them go with a warning or whatever, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't have to be Johnny Carson to have that happen. Well, I just think that the smart way to do it is something in the middle. Now, when you're drunk, and you know you're drunk, and you've been pulled over for DUI, and they're pulling you out of the car, I definitely think you shut up. Okay?
Right.
And you don't have to be nasty. You say, look, I don't want to talk without my lawyer present. That's just good judgment. But if you've driven into a checkpoint, if you've driven into a checkpoint and you know you haven't done anything wrong, and they start, you know, saying to you, where are you going? Say, I'm driving home. Big fucking deal. So what? What are they going to do? I've driven through many checkpoints. They've talked to me for less than 20 seconds. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They can see I'm not drunk. They can see that there's no smell. There's no whatever. My eyes are normal. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. You know? That's the guy you want to be. You want to be the one they don't notice, you know?
Right.
All right, William, thank you for that. Adam, tell everybody once again how they can get in touch with you.
Well, I do answer my own phone, Tom. God help me.
Nice.
I've had a couple of people this week talking to me, and they start saying, okay, well, I got this and I got that. Are you writing this down? Are you going to tell this to Adam Sachs, you know? I said, you're already telling it to him. But anyway, you can call me at 800-340-7320.
800-340-7320.
Right
on. You can go to his website, adamlawyer.com.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys of Gary. He's Dino.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine.
Of course.
Thank you.
The FCC has unanimously dumped the blackout rule. Now, this does not mean that all games now will not be blacked out. It just means that the NFL can not ask networks to black them out.
Right. Anybody living
in Arizona
or San Diego know this well.
Yes.
Such dicks. Now that's ended.
So, well,
I'm glad
no.
they got off their ass. It did something other than trying to
get it. Just means that the FCC is not enforcing it. So, you're likely to see networks still continue to, side with the NFL on this. So, you're probably not going to see any more games.
Great. I will find a way. That's how I do.
Yeah. You're going to have to get the package.
I'll be watching online. Screw them.
You're going to have to get the package.
That's what they get when they act a fool.
Mm hmm. 1 in 7 Brits admits to being drunk while on a plane. Half said they start boozing in the airport before the flight.
Good on them. You know, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Our friends like to get the job done.
This is when they're off on vacation, by the way, and they like to get started early.
Oh. Yeah. I thought this was just regular. You know, they like to show up at their business meeting in another country, and they got a couple of pops in them. There we go.
Interesting stat, actually. 31% of respondents feel uncomfortable around drunk flyers.
What?
So half of them are drunk.
And the other half are scared?
The other half are scared of the drunks. What are you looking at?
Yeah. I don't understand why people are upset with that. You know, let it go. Unless you get some guy trying to open up the back gate, back door on the plane. And
I forgot who it was. It was like somebody involved with a television show that was tweeting out reports of a drunk woman on her flight the other day.
Yes, it was an editor or something for one of the, maybe even Modern Family or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was.
And I can't tell if it's a girl's name, if it's a chick. It's like Ryan Case or something like that. And they, the woman, exaggeration. It was Ryan Case, Modern Family editor Ryan Case, took her frustrations publicly by live tweeting an encounter of what she described as somebody who was extremely drunk.
She was faced. Apparently, she was drinking Tito's, little airplane bottles of Tito's, and she was so fucked up that people started yelling at her and stuff.
She was that person on the plane, not Ryan Case, but the...
correct. They hauled her off.
They did.
When they finally
of the highlights, the woman obviously overheard being drunk and loud. She said, I feel like in Dubai, every car I sat in is a Range Rover. And that's where she got started. And it just went south from there.
It's a brand new Viagra ad, and for the first time, it's targeting women.
Yes.
And it's got a broad on
it. Yeah, but the broad is, she's like Australian on top of it.
She's like middle-aged, kind of milfy looking.
Yes. How you going? And she just gets it done.
I couldn't tell whether she was Australian or English.
I got Australian for some reason, but that might be just me.
I was confused, though, and Paul has like a combination of the
because
two going on.
He grew up in England and then made the move.
G'day, Tom. How you going?
So you get this odd thing going. But yes, I don't know. If this is a hot MILF, that's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
A naked woman was a passenger in a truck that slammed into a school bus.
Oh, huh. Well, the children's got up close and personal.
No idea why this woman was naked.
So she just driving around, you know how she do.
She was a passenger. She was not driving the truck.
Oh, you're right.
And when she
shotgun
after the accident, when the cops arrived, she was just totally naked. They like gave her a blanket or a towel or something. But there's no explanation as to why.
Yeah, I think the real question, and I'm certain this will come out because our friends in Bradford County definitely know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. I would check the driver of the truck and wonder their connection.
Ask a couple questions.
Just, hey, how come your girl was naked there? How long have you known?
But imagine the children's first they get rear-ended
by a truck,
so
semi
to speak. and then a naked woman pops out.
That's
bonus.
Called just a Monday.
That's bonus time.
Come on,
what are we talking about?
That's really good.
Finally,
and aptly names, the elementary school is called Stark.
Oh,
Stark Elementary, like Stark Naked.
Yeah, Stark Naked. There you go. Finally, a pick alert for you. It's Russian model Mergeva Galinka. I'm going for it. I think Mergeva, whatever.
That translates for everybody into amazingly hot.
Doesn't she kind of remind you a little bit of Sofia Vergara?
Absolutely, but there's a little bit of nyet in there. Our girl,
look at you.
I was trying to figure out how to say yes. I don't know that. I got to look that up. I would like to have
some. Say no instead. That's fine.
Yeah.
Plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. We are live this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on the stream, taking your phone calls. Looking forward to that from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.